Okay, well, we'll carry on. So I'm our next speaker, and this is a project that I'm working on with a former postdoc, Stelios Hadzimanolis. This was started out of the Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History, and Stelios has moved on to the University of Tennessee. This is kind of a progress report on some work that really just began as an offshoot of a larger California beetle project that I've been working on with some funding that we got just about a year ago. So first I want to introduce you to California's Channel Islands. They're not particularly well known, so many of you might not have heard of them. There are these eight islands off the coast of Southern California, ranging from just, you can see the distances here, 20 kilometers offshore to about 100 at the most distant. Five of these islands, kind of a northern group, are included in a national park, Channel Islands National Park. And two of the southern islands, San Nicolas and San Clemente, are managed by the Navy. San Clemente is actually largely a bombing range, and that makes for some interesting working conditions. And Santa Catalina Island is held by a private conservancy, the Catalina Island Conservancy. And it's the only one of the islands that could be considered really at all developed. It's got a town called Avalon on it, and there's real easy travel back and forth there. The big one is Santa Cruz, although Santa Catalina and Santa Rosa aren't very far behind. I'd have to say at this point Santa Catalina is probably the best known because there have been people going out to Avalon for over 100 years. Some of the earliest work was done out there. Santa Cruz had a University of California field station established in the very early 1970s. So there's been quite a lot of work out there as well. The other islands are all quite poorly known. The islands have been subjected to a lot of fluctuations in environmental conditions. Within the past 500,000 years, there's been a lot of sea level fluctuation, and at one or more points, a number of the islands were completely submerged. So San Nicolas, Anacapa, Santa Barbara, and San Nicolas were completely underwater within the past 500,000 years. So their fauna is going to be relatively recent. And you notice that the shoreline was quite a bit receded as well during some of that time. Then at the glacial maximum, sea level was quite a bit lower. I think I said the reverse previously, I'm sorry. Quite a bit lower. Several of the northern islands were combined into one, which we refer to as Santa Rosa. All of the islands had quite a bit more exposed land, and the shoreline was quite a bit further out. But none of these islands, as far as we know, have ever been connected to the mainland. For a number of years, because there were mammoth fossils known from the islands, it was thought that there had to have been some kind of land connection there, some kind of land bridge, because how would elephants have ever gotten out to the islands? Well, when they mapped the seafloor here, it became really evident that there couldn't have ever been a land bridge. And in a number of places now, it's actually been seen that elephants are relatively good swimmers. So they did make their way out there at some point on their own. These islands have really made the news a lot in the last few years. The Park Service and the Navy and the private conservancy on Catalina have all really worked together to try to get a lot of introduced animals off of these islands. Most of them originally were ranches and were used for grazing cattle, sheep, goats. Really herds and herds of animals trampled these islands nearly to death. So we've been trying to, well, not we, but these agencies have been trying to rid the islands of all of these introduced herbivores, and animal rights folks are very active in Southern California and have tried to block every one of these efforts. Most have ultimately been successful, and we really are starting to see the islands recovering. Removing the pigs from Santa Cruz Island was the last major effort, and that took place over the last 3 or 4 years, and they're now gone. And we're really seeing almost an immediate response, an accumulation of leaf litter, and a lot of recovery in the understory. So there's still some issues to be dealt with, mainly introduced plants. Those probably won't arouse the same kind of controversy. The islands really present a nice microcosm of mainland habitats. There's lots of coastal prairie, other coastal habitats, beach and dune, some pine woodlands. There are a couple of different kinds of pine forests. Bishop pine, which is really related to more northern conditions, and then Torrey pine is on Santa Rosa Island, and that's otherwise only known from a very small area in San Diego County. So that's a really interesting disjunct population. Lots of rocky intertidal habitats, grasslands, oak woodlands, chaparral, really a lot of Southern California in a very small space, but quite well preserved relative to what you find in the mainland, at least. The islands are very important for breeding birds, There's lots of marine mammals that breed out there as well. I think it's 5 or maybe 6 species of pinnipeds breed out on the islands. And there are a fair number of endemic species on these islands. Many of these are relatively closely related to mainland things. This island scrub jay was just recognized as a full species maybe in the past 10 years, I think. The island fox is very similar to mainland foxes and, in fact, may have been brought out originally by Native Americans. These others are related to things that occur on the mainland, but they're distinct. But this is an endemic that really is quite different. This is island ironwood. It's a rosaceous genus that occurs nowhere else in the world. It's known from fossils in mainland western North America, but went extinct everywhere but on four of the Channel Islands. So, you know, you can look at some of these endemics and say, yeah, they're just a little bit different from stuff that's on the mainland. But this lets you know that there are potentially some very interesting things hiding out there. So, 5 minutes into the talk, what about beetles already? Well, beetles have received some attention. Henry Fall, who I consider the grandfather of California Coleoptera, did quite a bit of work out there, especially on Catalina Island, and published a paper in 1897 reporting over 200 species of beetles from all of the islands together. Scott Miller has long had an interest in the insects of the Channel Islands and published a paper on the beetles of Santa Barbara Island, which is the smallest of them, that little tiny isolated one, and recorded 51 species from there back in the 80s. He's been maintaining a database of island insects for many years, and from that we can pull records of 487 species now known from all of the islands. So this kind of set the stage for an offshoot that I mentioned of our California Beetle Project. In general, we're trying to better understand all of California's beetle diversity. And we got some National Science Foundation funding about 5 years ago to do most of Southern California, but we only had included Santa Cruz Island as a sampling site at that point. So a little over a year ago, Stelios and I got a National Geographic grant to expand this to all of the other islands. And our main interests are really just documenting the species level diversity better, but we're also trying to tie in some phylogeographic work that we've been doing on mainland California and on Santa Cruz Island. So we've been collecting a number of species that occur on most of the islands and trying to tie those into work that we've been doing. I'm just going to focus on one of these today, and that's Celis pacificus, which is considered an endemic species that occurs on almost all of the islands. But it's very closely related to a mainland thing called Celis ciliatus. So this past year, we tried to do field work on all 8 islands. The one that we didn't make was San Miguel. I was evacuated from my house because of a fire in July, the night before I was supposed to go out there. So that one didn't happen, but we're going to try to get there next spring or summer. So Celis pacificus, in the dotted lines here, you can see data from a previous study on Celis ciliatus that we've completed. And there were two major groups in that study, Southern California clade and a northern, Northern California clade and a Southern California clade. All of the rest of this is Celis pacificus, and most of it holds together very well. Contrary to my skepticism that it was a real species, except for a couple of haplotypes that we found on San Nicolas Island that are closely related to ciliatus, but clearly something different. These are photos of the vouchers of all of these. The main point of this is that they're all extremely similar, and some of the characters that are used to tell them apart are not very distinct. It's punctation on the fronds, and in Celis pacificus, they're supposed to be a little bit more transversely elongate. It's really hard to see, and you wouldn't look at that and really be able to put it clearly in either one. So we've got a lot more data to add to this now, and we hope to get San Miguel Island in there. We see two clear groups within the what's definitely pacificus of some southern islands, and then all the northern islands plus San Nicolas. So San Nic being way out here, you might expect to be grouping with the southern islands, but it's more closely related to these. So this is a tantalizing look at what we might expect in the future. The faunistic diversity, I'm just going to go through this real briefly. We've documented almost 800 total species now from all the islands. Santa Rosa is actually on top now, and that has been one that we've been working a little bit more intensively because at first, for a large island, it was the most poorly known. We've done a little bit of statistics on what we have. Clearly, there's some area relationships to diversity. Not a very distinct relationship to elevation, but some trend there. Precipitation is something that might influence beetle diversity. Not a very strong relationship there. And really no relationship at all so far to how far these islands are from the shore. This is all really preliminary, and I have no doubt that we're probably around half the diversity that actually occurs on these islands. The most similar to this point are Santa Rosa and Santa Cruz, which isn't too surprising because they're close to each other, they were connected recently. The most dissimilar are Catalina and Santa Barbara, which I think is probably mostly a sampling artifact at this point. And I just want to quickly mention a number of endemic species that have been known out there previously. And then the thing that's really made this interesting to me is how much of a refuge this appears to be for things that are now very rare on the mainland but were once known. So I've never collected any of these species on mainland Southern California, but we know that they were all described from there. And we found populations of all of these on one or more islands. So it really is preserving some things that we're no longer seeing on the mainland. So they're definitely important from a conservation standpoint. We got lots of surprises in the leaf litter on Santa Rosa Island, some blind flightless things like leptotiflines and catopocerus, and no doubt there's many other neat surprises out there waiting for us. So in summary, there's a lot of diversity out there that we're really just getting to know, but with the threats there somewhat alleviated, it's a great time to initiate some research out there and see how things are doing. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the phylogeography and some endemics that we haven't really looked at yet. Really, the next few years, we should have a lot more results from all this. So I just want to acknowledge a lot of people for helping out with the field work and with permissions, and National Science Foundation and National Geographic for support. Thank you very much.